Fresh News, Smart Talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 9th of December, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Y'all hear that music? Listen good. This may be the only Junker New y'all get this year. And I ain't mad. I ain't mad at all. I can be honest with y'all, as much as I love Junkanoo, because I rush with the greatest scrap group in the history of Junkanoo, white people, and the whole world, the spirit, except for the pigs and the Methuselahs, right? Okay. But I call in for the resignation of the entire JCNP board. Why? Is it over this Valley Boy? Valley Boys could pack themselves up and stuff themselves in a porta potty since they ain't got no bathroom. How you could be a Junkanoo group from 1958 and you ain't got no bathroom, right? I call in for their resignation because when I look at the list of A groups who were given $30,000 to participate, the prodigal son's still on the list. Why y'all still giving the prodigal sons $30,000? Last year, they had to return the money. The year before that, the shack burned down. They couldn't come to Bay. The callers keep calling me and telling me, Green, you being polite with them. They barely come to Bay. Forget the Valley Boys. The JCNP should resign because y'all stay giving the prodigal sons money without any substantive changes in your policies to guarantee that they could deliver on the people's tax money. That's my money you're giving them. That's not y'all money, Junkanoo community. Y'all didn't raise that money, Junkanooers. See, if y'all had raised the seed money yourself to be distributed amongst the groups, y'all could do what you want. On your own property. See, if you pay what you want on Bay Street, but you ain't paid that either. I get guests in studio today, so we're not going to delve into the Junkanoo discussion at this point. But I'm hoping that this conversation we have today can help people process some of what they may be feeling today after hearing the news coming from the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture and the JCNP. Apparently, the JCNP are threatening to cancel Junkanoo. I say cancel it. The Canadian people done doing the first global Junkanoo conference. We got all of Bahama and all of Atlantis here. Thousands of rooms. Let happen. So one day, we could host the first global and continue to host the global space for exploration of Junkanoo, preservation of Junkanoo. But no. Y'all arguing over who could own the name Valley Boys. And y'all ain't even got a bathroom? What y'all arguing over? The stakeholders of Junkanoo have been found wanting. And now y'all want us to join in on y'all games? Forget the Valley Boys. The JCNP should resign because who given the prodigal sons another $30,000? Anyway, today in studio, I have Equality Bahamas. We're talking about the global 16 days campaign. Activism against gender-based violence. We're talking about Equality Bahamas' campaign this year under the theme, Rage and anti-resilience. A lot of us are upset right now about plenty, plenty things. And I hope that this conversation we're going to have today with guests in studio could help articulate, organize their feelings, strategize, figure out how they can move forward, what the way forward for them is as they navigate these things, some of which they can control and some of which they can't. Anyway, as you could see, I'm excited. The JCNP Junkanoo News throw me right off this morning, as I already have other things to rage about. Like, who's selling 10 fritters for $10? Who? What has happened? And who buying it? Who buying 10 fritters for $10? Now, one of my guests in studio may not understand the significance of that. But that's like when I was in Trinidad, getting ready to have my first doubles, and the people then was hot, they was ready to shut down all doubles in Trinidad because the price of doubles gone up by one TT. And me, like a foolish Bahamian, I sitting there thinking, well, the thing still don't cost dollar. I ready to buy everybody your doubles. But I had to understand the rage of the Trinidad. I had to understand why they was ready to shut doubles down forever, and I still ain't get my first one yet. But once I stood with the people and ate one of the doubles, I got it. Like, I got it. Doubles is waking people food. Doubles is poor people food. Doubles is joy in the mouth. Here in the Bahamas, we already gentrified it. To my guests, they don't even, they call it doubles. It only come with one barra. I got things to rage about. They don't. It's called doubles because it come with two barra. Anyway, I also have something else to rage about. But we ain't gonna get into that much right now, except to say, I had my first encounter on Friday with those people who assault you on the road for following the rules. I had my first encounter. A taxi driver assaulted me because I stopped at the stop sign. I telling you, because I stopped at the stop sign. He decided he's gonna try knock my car. What a time. And it's the exact time for this conversation. And so this morning I have in studio Alicia Wallace, founder and director of Equality Bahamas. And we have a special guest of Equality Bahamas for the 16 Days campaign, Ms. Stacey Ann Chin, performance artist, author, poet, motherhood advocate, which is slightly separate from mother's advocate, but an advocate for motherhood. It's a pleasure to have both of these ladies in studio this morning as we wrap up, as we come toward the end of the Global 16 Days campaign, Activism Against Gender-Based Violence. Good morning, ladies.
Morning. I can't tell you how good it is to be here and to hear this lovely opening rant, you know, like rage from belly bottom, like visceral, like coming from the, you know, like core of the pelvis where all life begins.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to tell you that it's good to hear it and to hear the details of the rage here. To hear all the things that, you know, people here in the Bahamas are struggling with, and the connection with what's happening in Trinidad. And already I have wheels turning about what's happening in Jamaica, where I now spend so much of my time, and in New York, where I spent so much of my youth. It's good to remember that the story is not just one corner, but like it's many, 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 many connections, many threads that make a rope that we need to tie up things, to loosen up things.
Absolutely, absolutely. And how important it is to keep space for the holding of rage, mm-hmm. for the releasing of rage, right? And many people they come to this conversation right now and it's like, what are these people talking about, man? These women, them talking again. But I want to take a moment just to point out a thing that exists right now in our everyday lives that we don't see as a space to hold and release rage. Mm. But this weekend, plenty Bahamians were glued to their TV. They were watching the NFL. They were watching Major League Sports. Mm. And I think that we don't see that space of sports entertainment for what it is, outside of entertainment. Mm. It is a space for people to release their rage, right?
It's the establishment's channeling of the rage to make it move in a direction that is perhaps least problematic, least volatile for them. So you know, we could just rage and run around and call out people names and hit the door and scream at each other over these scores and these balls and then we don't care about who dead and who not dead and how much doubles cost and you know where the money is going and who making who renovating what and who own what.
My team did it this weekend, right? Or my team didn't do it this weekend, and it is an imperialist. A part of the imperialist agenda. It's a strategy, like you say, to divert this volatile rage from the focus on the things that enrage us every day, right, to some place where it can be captured.
I mean, we live in the era of distraction, you know. I mean, beginning with social media, turn it to Netflix or whatever. We live in an era where they just give us pacifiers, you know, like all of us are just babies sitting on couches playing around on our computers, and you know they have all of these pacifiers that it just plug into the women's advocate's mouth, plug activist mouth, plug into the poor people's mouth, plug into. It's like you imagine somebody just rolling around and us putting pacifiers in all of our mouths to keep us quiet.
That's it. Absolutely. And it leaves us at the end of the day feeling out of sorts, right? Because I feel like I have expressed my rage, but then the same, I've solved the problem, but I haven't. And the problem arises again, and the rage arises again. And another effective tool, like you say, it's the distraction. I'm going to distract you by pointing you toward where I know your fear is, right? Mm-hmm, so I know you fear that...
Immigrants. Right. Let me talk about that. Immigrants everywhere. Right. Immigrants.
Right? And so I will distract you. I will help you divert your rage to the immigrants as opposed to an administration that refuses to acknowledge the role that immigrants play. Refuses to acknowledge the state's obligation to both the citizen and the immigrant and the migrant. They refuse to explain their obligation to protect the migrant and the Bahamian. And so many of us are walking around the place with rage. So for instance, I had this encounter with this driver who was a taxi driver. And I know that you are upset because for me, this traffic jam, which was, the circumstances that caused it were unannounced. There was no public notice helping people to divert. So here's a taxi driver struggling to make enough fare for the day who's caught up in this traffic. He can't hit the helicopter button. For me, I'd already submitted to the traffic because I say, hey, the person who I'm supposed to meet, I can't stop my car to get out of traffic to call them, to message them. I don't use my phone while I'm driving, and I have a timeline, but I knew this guy, he got to make money. He has to meet his bills, right? And so in a time where there's just so much rage, and if we talk just about rage for a second, I didn't go to the police because I didn't want to enrage myself later. I didn't want to have to go through another process where within the first 30 seconds I could tell that ain't nothing going to get done.
And that's another way that the bureaucracy prevent you from at least figuring out how to hold somebody accountable for what went wrong.
Right.
You know, so the whole system is just stacked against you.
Right. And then I say to myself, ultimately, I'm upset at the people who have the duty of care to enforce traffic controls, to ensure that signs are visible, to ensure that mechanisms are visible to catch people breaking traffic controls. That's where my rage is directed, at the administrative crisis that allows and enables this environment in which people have no healthy way to address their crises, to address their issues.
Or no resource from the loss. When you talk about taxi people, you know, taximen, you know, taxi drivers in New York City, taxi drivers in Kingston is the same drama. Yeah. People, these taxi drivers, they will cut over and go all the way up the road. I mean, they break all kinds of traffic rules and endanger so many of us all the time. Mm-hmm. Not because they are like crazy people or because they don't want to, you know, keep us safe, but because what they earn from like driving a taxi is so little that mm-hmm. they have to like, they're just rubbing against all of the safety rules in order to make a little more, to right. press a little more. So I just want to make sure that this rage that we have again, you know, occurrence is not just against the taxi man, but the taxi right. man having more rage, as in like every time this thing happen, he lose all the money, children don't eat, rent can't pay, can't take care of his family. So there's that plus yeah. you trying to go meet this man. There's a whole, yeah. You know, everybody angry. Right. Everybody angry. The only people who are not angry are the people in charge.
Right. And so since this theme has arisen, I've been thinking about it and talking about it, right? Rage is an appropriate response. Rage is an appropriate response to circumstances that should not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Rage is then becomes a tool if you are unable to process it in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you keep it inside you, it will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
If you vomit it out because you're afraid it'll kill you, it will kill
someone
else.
Mm-hmm.
And so rage is an appropriate response.
And let's talk about the response that we have against people who is allowed to be rageful and who is not. Like the taxi man feel like he can come right. out and jump on you and cuss you out. But if a woman do it.
Right. And let me tell you, that was an element of the exchange as well. Right. And then it was explained to me that I am a sissy woman and I am a woman who's trying to be a man. And so I am not allowed to rage.
Right. Because rage belongs to men.
Right. I am not allowed to respond appropriately mm-hmm. to the violence that has been meted against me. Right. No, I'm not allowed to do any of that. I'm not a well-dressed woman. I'm not a respectable woman. I don't wear makeup. I don't wear heels. I don't wear girdles. I don't curl my hips in the way that is socially acceptable, right? I don't wear the pearls. So I'm not allowed to go into meetings. And when I go into meetings and critique, that critique is translated into rage. And then the critique then becomes an appropriate response
mm-hmm.
to what's happening in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And we use respectability politics to silence people by finding justifications for ignoring.
I mean, I have to push back and say it's not just respectability politics, but mm-hmm. it's respectability politics. It's poverty. It's, you know, you have like a million different strikes against you. And the more strikes you have against you, the less you are entitled to that rage, you know, like, so mm-hmm. you're talking about how you dress. I mean, you talk about sexuality, you talk about gender, you talk about sex, you talk about, you know, if you're fat, you talk about if you're, there's so many ways mm-hmm. in which, like, you know, who decide what.
Mm-hmm.
Who can rage?
And right now in the Bahamas, just as we transition to talk about the events coming up, the events that just took place, the events coming up. In the Bahamas right now, many people are in a state of financial and psychological crisis.
Mm.
They're in a state of financial crisis because of what they make does not meet what they need. And they're in a state of psychological crisis because they don't know how they got there. They don't know how to get out of there. They don't know how to improve their circumstances. And they don't know how to make adaptations in their own life to be comfortable with what exists. And we see that playing out. Like you see, we talked about the taxi driver. That's financial crisis.
Yeah, I don't think that we should get comfortable at all. I mean, this is where my radical bone like stands up in mm-hmm. my neck and pushes through my mouth. I am not interested in being satisfied or learning to live with our life as it is. I think mm-hmm. we should. What we need is like a collective rage. Like instead of us raging silently in these rooms where we're pounding our fists and breaking our own bones and breaking our nose and pushing up against a system that by ourselves we kill it. I think that we have to remember that there are people who are having the same drama. The rich are getting richer. The existence of a person like Elon Musk, like Jeff Bezos, that is not coincidental to where mm-hmm. we are. That one man have so much money and the taxi man who work from 6 in the morning until 9 at night, he can't make a living. That's ridiculous.
And then think about young people, right? Young people, we putting them in a very, I want to be very sensitive here, in a schizophrenic state, because here we are in the Bahamas touting that education and academics, right, and hard work, that's the way forward. You got to go to school. You got to get these grades to advance. And you got a Jeff Bezos, a Elon Musk.
School dropouts.
Right. Even a Bill Gates who has no real medical training. The world has decided this boy is a medical expert. So young people are sitting here thinking, hold on, what am I supposed to do to achieve and succeed? What is the sense of following? And then to look at their parents and say, but you all been telling me this. How am I supposed to trust you? You all been telling me that this is the formula to follow for success and personal integrity, right? And all around me, everyone else I see is not just doing it differently in a crooked way compared to the standard, but they celebrating it and y'all celebrating them.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, people in question, like you have the Trump administration, where it's full of felons and criminals and whatnot, and everybody doing exactly what everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that. But, you know, here we are. We voted him in the US. We, you know, he's got about to, you know, be at the helm of what is considerably a lot of power in the whole world, you know, affecting people in the Bahamas, in Jamaica, in China, in, you know, I just really feel like, you know, I mean, I get into arguments with people in, like, you know, nationalist conversations, because I feel like we need to get global. I mean, the activists of 50 years ago, in the 60s and 70s, were talking to people in the US, they were talking to people in Jamaica, in Haiti, I feel like we need to stretch outside of these nationalistic borders and start talking to each other, sharing resources, like planning and pulling and strategizing together. I want to know what the Haitians did, you know, as Jacobins. I want to know what the Maroons did. I want to know what the civil rights activists did in the 1960s and 70s. I want to know what we did everywhere I want to know what Africa did to, like, throw, you know, some of that power over.
And I want to know what the rock runners did, right? So I realized that's what is happening in the Bahamas, right? People are running from rock to rock to rock, right? To evade capture under saltwater railroads, right? Like that's
break down this rock thing for me, because I don't know. Talk to me.
The Bahamas is 700 islands and keys of rock, right? Mm-hmm. But the Bahamas is a imperialist construct. Nationality is an imperialist construct.
For sure.
What exists is these rocks, right? And the people who lived here, their thing is running the rocks. Because we have not acknowledged that, right? Here we are in 2024 with a conversation about a U.S. indictment on senior police and uniformed forces officials alleged of participating in a grand conspiracy of contraband running of drugs and guns, right? And then I'm trying to remind people that we cannot have this conversation outside of the broader context of the historical experience in these islands.
And you're talking about colonialism.
Right. But before that, the indigenous people, they ran the rocks. They moved back and forth through these rocks outside of a construct of nationality, right?
For sure. That's why all of y'all here have so much mix-up last names and mix-up histories, like where you come from. Like, you know, it can't be one place. It's a whole...
We had the pirates, right? We had piracy, right? And so we had a piracy. When the people come back and say, pirates expelled, commerce restored, the commerce was the trade of African people. Then we move to the wrecking, right, where the families that have wealth now and historic power can be linked back to the history of wrecking, which ended in like the 40s and 50s. And then we move to the history of the movement of contraband, smuggling of people, prohibition, smuggling of alcohol, right, smuggling of drugs. That's what is done. The geography dictates what this place is.
And don't talk about, like, modern tourism, how it is, you know, where we exploit the labor of right? People who live in these, like, you know, countries.
And what are the mega resorts doing? The mega resorts and the investors are rock running, right? Like, they're moving from rock to rock to figure out how they could extract the most wealth. And then when they're done, they dip out. And so I think, right, like, for our context, right, exploring what Nanny did, exploring what the Haitians as Jacobins did, exploring what we in these islands as rock runners did so we could better understand why we're doing what we're doing now. We got young people in a state where we expect them to be pious Christian, devout Christians making decisions that even their parents don't have the spiritual integrity to make. That's what we expect of these young people in a place that has always been about doing the opposite, but not following the law.
Isn't that duality, though, that, like, you know, like, I mean, in W.E.B. Du Bois talked about this double consciousness just don't, it's not just about race, it's about, like, spirituality, it's mm-hmm. about respectability, where on the one hand, you're expected to behave in this kind of, like, respectable manner, but under the table, all kind of things happening for everybody. So, which is why corruption is a problem in so many of these mm-hmm. spaces. And whereas we talk about corruption here being this overt, traceable movement of money and power, and you talk about in England and the UK, I mean in the UK and the US and Canada, where it's the big banks that do it and do it with the law on their side. So mm-hmm. it's the same thing. It's extracting wealth from people who don't have it. It's turning the laws and the rules to your advantage. I mean, like, there's a huge, it's such a big mess. And I suppose what rage does is that it concentrates your direction of mm-hmm. movement. It gives you a way to act now to start pushing bit by bit towards a change that you think you need or want.
Right. And if we are brave enough to hold space for rage, if we're brave enough to say, look here, I get it. I can sit here with you while you cuss. You doing something, right? If we are brave enough to hold space for rage, to hold people in rage, to hold the rage, then we can see that it is not individual, that it is collective, and then we begin the process of turning rage into outrage. Outrage is the collective, right? And then from outrage, we turn outrage into activism and advocacy, and we create a space, right? But if we're brave enough to sit with others and their rage, then we can see, we can take that from an emotional response to a need for policy shift and infrastructural reform.
But that collective rage, that movement from the inner anger to the outer expression of that anger, it requires two things. It requires for you to look into yourself, to recognize the rage, to legitimize the rage, as in you have a right to be angry, because things are topsy-turvy. They are not as they are supposed to be. And you are being told by everyone, everywhere, that something is wrong with you if you are going to get hysterical about anything. Let's use that word. Mm-hmm. So there's a way that it requires, a kind of self-reflection. So we need space. People need space to be able to do that. And the second thing they need is that they need community. Mm-hmm. Like, you need someone. I mean, you ever see what happened in church, like Pocomania churches, or people get into spirit? People don't just get into spirit and just by themselves. The collective comes forward and says, okay, what you are feeling is not crazy. So let me help you. Let me hold your head. Let me hold your hand. Let me place my hand there. Let me make sure you're not hurting yourself or exposing yourself. Some of those things, like, we need space. And I think that's what, like, you know, Equality Bahamas provide, come in and acknowledge and articulate that rage in the workshops, in the protests, in the conversations that you have here on the show. Mm-hmm. Like, people need space. So you're not crazy. I'm talking to you in your bathroom right now. I'm talking to you who is on the corner feeling like you want to just put your fist through somebody's face. You are not crazy for feeling that way. Things are not as they should be. You are not being cared for by the taxes that you pay. You're not being cared for by the people you elect. You are not being cared for by people who you put in position of power over you. Things not right. The money not running right. So many things are not right. And I want for you to just begin there by saying, yes, the thing don't set right. And you need to figure out how mm-hmm. to set it right. And you need to acknowledge that. And you need to find your tribe. You need to find your kindred. You need to find your people who will say to you, yes, the thing turned wrong. And let me and you figure out how to turn it right.
Mm-hmm. And in the midst of producer, let's prepare to go to a break. Play some Junkanoo music, because that's what it's for, helping you process your rage and your feelings, right? As we go to this break, you know, I want to say that my Grammy was Una Hasty. She, if not the first, she's one of the first taxi drivers in the country, woman taxi drivers in the country. And if y'all think y'all can convince me that we don't stop at stop signs anymore or red lights, I just want y'all to know that I am plenty things, and crazy is one of them. But I refuse to let people who think that a D average is satisfactory lean on their own understanding and tell me to stop at stop signs anymore. Right? Like, that is my line. I don't need the Commissioner of Police to resign because of some U.S. indictment. I don't care what the U.S. is saying. The indictment is that the Royal Bahamas Police Force has stopped enforcing traffic controls. They've stopped following traffic controls. That, my friends, is a crisis. That is a massive problem. That's where I draw in the line. I didn't go to school for 12 years and preschool and this school and summer school and Sunday school and all these schools for y'all to teach me to be a good Christian, for y'all to now turn around and look in my face and say, we don't stop at stop signs no more. Because here's what the problem is. Y'all don't. And it's not just the ones on the road. You know the stop sign that say you don't sleep with little children? Y'all stop following that stop sign as well. You know the stop sign that say you don't take advantage of vulnerable people? Y'all stop following that stop sign as well. Yeah, so that's where I can draw the line. And if y'all see me raging, it's very simple. We stop at stop signs in the Bahamas, all of them. That's what we do. Don't mind these other set who they upset. They're catching themselves. But in the Bahamas, we stop at stop signs. Especially the set that say, don't sleep with that little child because there's a child. Producer, play some music. Take us to a break. You're on the clock with Erin Green. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the details for the final events. The Global 16 Days ends on December 10th. That's tomorrow, World Human Rights Day. We're going to talk about what happened on Saturday. Man, it was fun. Y'all miss it. Something happened on Saturday. We're going to talk about all of that event. Entitled Writing Our Rage, a workshop with Stacey Ann Chin. Y'all listen to this good junk of new music. This may be it. Y'all catch it when you can. This may be it. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Garden, 302-2361.
Then there's a Lampkin. The customers love the red suit. You think you can heist them for something a little more? We need to see more socks. But before you go, look at, I got some specials going on for the sale. I got two set of 12 by 12 and four set of 18 by 18 tile. Now, the 12 by 12 Al Blanco is just that, Al Blanco. That and the peach and gray Alcala going for $215 a square foot. Now, I got three 18 by 18 flagstone style and a high gloss gray and beige tile for $203 a square foot. What you doing, Lampkin?
Looking for one pin.
Sale ends December 21st.
Junkanoo and Jingle Bells are coming down Bay as hundreds of Santas will participate in Junkanoo Jingle to Bay 5K, the Christmas run for a good cause, Saturday, December 14th at 6 a.m. at Arawak Key. Form a team and register your pups to walk, run, roll, and rush to the Junkanoo Bee. Thanks to our sponsors, Nassau Paradise Island Promotion Board, Guardian Radio, Nassau Agency Limited, HealthWise, Alpha Sounds, Duncan, Electronic Media, BWA, Thompson Trading, and Caribbean Bottling Company. JJ to Bay 5K, Saturday, December 14th. Register today at FourSeasonsRaceManagement.com.
Santa Claus, if you come to town and you don't bring Junkanoo, you can get run out of town just like the JCNP. I just saying, and let me tell you, don't think that my critique of the JCNP is solely about this Valley Boys discussion or the way that the JCNP engaged it. It's because somebody keep giving the prodigal sons $30,000. At least one of those dollars is mine. At least 50 cents of that is mine, and I would like it back. Producer, could you check that caller for me and see if they call in about the specific conversation that we're having right now, although I am referencing Junkanoo in our conversation. I'm not really talking about Junkanoo this morning, but remember, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is coming up shortly, and I'm sure he's going to address what's in the news on this Hot News Monday cycle. But this is also another extremely important conversation. So, Alicia, let's... Well, 16 Days campaign is... Why it runs from the 25th of November to the 10th of December, the next two events coming up, and then Equality Bahamas' key demands for this year's campaign.
The Global 16 Days campaign is a big time of year for us at Equality Bahamas, one of two sort of flagship events or series of events that we run, and it is focused on activism against gender-based violence. And of course, we do this work year-round, but this is a time that we particularly invite members of the public to join us and to kickstart their advocacy or deepen it or find ways that they can use their own interests and skills and talents and bring it to the movement that we're here busy trying to build and been trying to build over the last 10 years. Every year we have an area of focus, and for the past few years we've particularly been focusing on femicide, the sex or gender-based kill of women and girls. And of course, the campaign started on November 25th, which is International Day for Women, that came just days after we heard about the rape and murder of 12-year-old Adrielle Moxie.
Yes.
And the rape and murder of Verentia.
72-year-old Verentia Butler.
So the theme for us is really fitting: rage and anti-resilience. And we've been inviting people into conversations to talk about the importance of rage and being able to recognize it, being able to access it, not being afraid of it, and not feeling pressured to push it down or turn it into something else, especially for women and girls who are taught that rage is not for us. It doesn't belong to us. We're not allowed to have it. We're supposed to lean to the softer side, right? We're supposed to be sitting in sadness or fear. But we are calling on women and girls and members of the public at large to join us in getting comfortable with rage. And I think, as you put it in one of the sessions, it's not that you are particularly thrilled about the reason that you come to the rage, but it's important that we are able to feel that so that we can turn it into something. We can turn it into an energy that we use and that we put into the work that we are doing to transform this place, to create a world where We don't need the quote-unquote protection of women and girls because we have an environment where women and girls can feel safe, can be safe, can thrive, and can actually walk home from school and make single time safely, mm-hmm. where elderly women can go home and get ready and have tea and get ready for bed and to get into bed and have the expectation that they're going to wake up the next day with no stranger mm-hmm. in their home. The campaign ends tomorrow, as you mentioned, which is Human Rights Day. And we have quite a wide series of events, virtual and in person. We're really excited. We kicked off all of the artsy stuff last mm-hmm. week with a theater workshop with Paula Hamilton Smith from Trinidad. And on Saturday, we had our printmaking day, mm-hmm. which I'm very glad you were there for. Stacey Ann was there for that. We had a lot of fun making our own stamps, creating a collective print, creating lots of individual prints that we will get to play with tomorrow when we start making our rage books. Okay. But this evening, we have our writing workshop with Stacey Ann Chin. Really, really excited to encourage people to sit in that rage and to put it on the page. Mm-hmm. It's really a practice that we can learn together this evening and something that we can kind of adapt and transform for ourselves to suit our own needs. And then rolling right into tomorrow where we create a book for ourselves that will mm-hmm. be our rage book where we put all this down.
Absolutely. Stacey Ann, I'm coming to you in a second. I just want to say, y'all see that trend? I don't know if it's TikTok. I just know it's social media. We listen. We don't judge. Right? It's like the world is trying, like even the young people are trying to articulate something, right? Like, I need you all to listen and not judge. I need you to hear this rage and don't think it's about you alone. Trust that I understand that we are all complicit in systems that we are convinced we can control, knowing well that we are not in control unless we take deliberate control of our own lives, right? Okay, Stacey Ann, sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. I want to read a piece of a poem for people just to get a sense of the work we're trying to do together.
At the workshop today?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
When I bled for the first time, I told my best friend, wrapped my secret in her ear and assured her that this blood meant that we could make babies. But being a girl in Jamaica in 1972, in 1980, farther than his sweaty palms reaching for my hand, my tiny breasts had to be brave against his fury when I refused. One night, I stabbed him, pencil point sliding swift into his flesh. The whole house cried out, and I was so proud of my yellow pencil, point sharp and without fear. My aunt beat me anyways. "For making your cousin bleed," she said, and I cried more out of loneliness than anything. The other cousin's name still remains quiet upon my tongue. I only think of him when I'm sad or angry or afraid of things that do not make noises in the dark. Stark, raving mad, he showed me himself, told me, "You smell like a woman in that little girl's body." Hips barely budding, he cornered me in the hallway in the bathroom, and I bled, washing quick and quiet. Years later, he still smiles at me, No apologies necessary. I was only a girl, and every day, against our wishes, girls carry common stories of sons and fathers and cousins who violate these bodies, these breasts, this ability to make breath. And one day, mouths will open wide in wonder and terror. Every day, on the morning, I stand grateful I was born a girl, especially since yesterday my mother told me, "Go ahead and write your story, little girl. Write." And it didn't matter. It didn't matter that I will write her in unflattering truths. "Write," she said, and the whole world righted itself. And I wish every mother whose daughter survived the burial of these unspoken things would give her permission to say what happened, to write down how she endured the terror of being that small girl in a world that so deeply favors large, brutal men. I wish every woman had the courage to bear public witness. I wish every woman had a pen, a clear view, and the support she needs to scream, "What happened to me was not my fault. What happened to me was not my fault. What happened to me was not my fault."
Thank you. Thank you very much. We hold a moment for Adrielle. We hold a moment for Adrielle Moxie. Yan, thank you very much. And you shared that piece from, I'm looking at this book that I'm going to put my hands on. I may not be able to take it with me today, but I shall absorb some of it. Crossfire.
It's all about the rage. And if you want to come talk more rage after today, tonight, you should come down to the Ponciana
Paper Press
at 6 o'clock. Yes, and come and rage with us and talk with us, share your stories. We're there to talk with you, to listen, to hold your hands, to give you space, whatever you might need to get through this. And come to Jamaica. I have a farm, a 70-acre farm.
The mangoes already invite me.
Come. We have yam, we have banana, we have space, we have feminists, we have poor people, we have friends, and we have frenemies, and we have lots of conversations, and we have fires, and we have community, and we have community, and we have community.
We are coming. That piece that Stacey Anshin read again is from a collection of poems.
A collection of poems.
Crossfire, a litany for survival. What a wonderful telling of story, of lived experience. And this is why we have to, two things, this is why we have to say it as the musicians, those who tell our stories, and sometimes in the face of prevailing narratives that refuse to visibilize us, that refuse to acknowledge not just our presence, but our needs, our despair, our pain. And it's just apropos, it's just propeating that Park Gate sits in the Kemp Road community, a community that is often not understood, that their rage is translated into barbarianism because we refuse to acknowledge our complicity. Like, we refuse to acknowledge that many of us drive through these communities. Like, it is our right to speed through people's homes. It is our right to disregard the sense of community and privacy that they are allowed to have. Look in your yard while I'm in the car. Well, ma'am, when I drive through your neighborhood, if ever I'm allowed to go through the gate, I can't see over the fence, right? Would you not do me the same favor and just keep your eyes forward? Why, you know, the oftentimes we don't see the ways in which we impact community, that we make them the thing that we call them. It's not the people dumping trash in their communities. I watch the people throw the trash out their cars as they use these communities for shortcuts.
And it's the lack of
infrastructure
that, like, takes the garbage out. And it's the neoliberal capitalism that's in 50 million boxes and waste and take up space and landfill and I don't know.
No, absolutely.
We talked a lot about this with Sarai Shamali when we talked about The Resilience Myth, the book that she wrote this year, and looking at the way that resilience has been framed for us, the way that we have been taught to think, particularly women and girls, that we have to be strong, we have to have the bounce back, mm-hmm. we have to endure, no matter what it is, endure, and then overcome on your own, mm-hmm. by yourself. And we at Equality Bahamas have been challenging that and talking about the need to build systems that support us so that we don't have to do it all on our own. But when we talked to Sarai Shamali, the author of The Resilience Myth, she brought in the very important aspect, which is community, and that women and girls largely survive because we have been taught, forced, right, to build community, to develop community, to care about the people who are around us, family members, friends, people within our communities. And we've been able to form these bonds and this sort of interdependence. We're able to recognize this interdependence, and we are that resilience in community, but we are also tools of resilience for the men and boys who don't build community in the same way.
Mm-hmm. And the larger structures, the kind of like companies, the corporations, you know, they're not interested in community. They're just studied community, which is why world building is what we need, which is why all these black women who are, you know, breaking up shop with these farms and these grounds. I mean, everywhere you look online, like, some black woman is like struggling to like put a piece of land together and like call people together, which is why it's important for you to find your way to one of these communes. Mm-hmm. If you have land, to give it over to the use of your community. Gather in person, in the flesh.
What we need is the opposite of what they're trying to sell us, right? What mm-hmm. Stacey Ann is talking about and telling us to come and see in Jamaica is this building of community and this interdependence and being able to work together towards what we want while we are being sold independence, right? Neoliberal messages telling us that...
A hyper-individualism.
That's what it is. Yeah.
And it encourages us, it convinces us that we can invisibilize people and things for our own comfort. And starkly, in the hurricane zone, right, where nobody could solve a problem called a hurricane by themselves. Not one single Chicchani could do it, right? But we have convinced people that their survival is based upon what they could do for themselves, right? Another point I want to make, I got a text here. Don't worry, text, I'm going to read that, is that with this Junkanoo conversation, right? There's another reason why the JCNP need to just resign. You hear what the war dog, road dog, the 800 million roots could be on Bay Street. Why do you not see the value of that energy? Why do you not see the value of that energy outside of the division of Junkanoo groups? Why don't you see that the power in the hands of those men and women, the pasters, the cowbellers, the drummers, the whistlers, the boy who has rolled the big BEC Rolling Thunder drum, that all of them together can create a safe community, girls like Adrielle, right? That all of those people could create safe community for pedestrians and people who have to walk the side of the road in a country where we feel like you could knock down little Haitian children and pay a $400 fine and get away with it. And FYI, if you ever find yourself before a magistrate and the magistrate tell you your fine is $400 for killing a little Haitian child, you're supposed to put your hand up in there and say, sir, Your Honor, I could pay more. Maybe I could figure it out. I could pay more. That don't make sense to me even. Right? That is the value of the energy. All of this rage that y'all generate, that y'all allowing to generate, is supposed to be turned into kinetic energy, not for the value of a banner.
But everything monetized, you know, everything, you know, everybody just want to just measure how much this is worth. So the life of a Haitian child is $400, but the life of, like, say, a Jeff Bezos is like millions and billions and billions of dollars. Like, it comes right down to who is valued and who is not. Mm-hmm. And always that is the measure we have to look at and see through and call out and call in and hold the people accountable for what they say versus what they do.
Absolutely. The text here, just as we end the show, so proud of you, Stacey Ann, coming from Turks and Caicos.
What?
I don't know. Text, tell me via text whether I should show her the number. Like, if you know her, so I could give her the number and she could connect with you. The conversation is so powerful. Producer, play the music so I could remember to stop talking. There's a current story coming out of the United States I think I'm going to touch on this week that may draw people closer to this, but maybe in different ways. An unfortunate incident, the CEO of an insurance company essentially was assassinated, executed, right? And it's a big discussion. And
in many places, a celebration for people, which is complicated, but it's a celebration because people looking at the industry of the insurance companies and saying, right, what is happening there?
The lives are treated like statistics, dots on a paper, because the formula has to balance, right? But these are lives, and people have to live with being told that your loved one didn't fit into the equation.
Simple. Or your child, or yourself.
Right. That you should just understand that this is how it works and prepare yourself to die, right? And so rage in that space is appropriate. How dare you look at somebody and say, I'm sorry, don't mind all of these resources we have over here. You're going to have to figure out how to save your own life. And maybe all out of time. Producer, play that good junk of new music. Y'all going to cause the spirit. Y'all gonna cause me to gather up all of these white people and light-skinned people like myself. I gotta call my cousin, Stacey Ann, we could talk about that off here. Apparently, Charles is my cousin. I gotta call my cousin Charles for y'all. What y'all mean? Y'all ain't having no Junkanoo. Y'all forget what Junkanoo is, eh? It's bigger than me, and it's bigger than you. The only thing it ain't bigger than is the spirit. Anyway, you guys, Stacey Ann Chin.
One love.
Blessing to have you in studio sharing with us, Alicia Wallace.
Yes, yes. See you at Point
Siam Equality
Paper
Bahamas.
Press.
See you at Point
Siam. 6 o'clock.
6 p.m. tonight.
Writing workshop, Writing Our Rage with Stacey Anjin.
And tomorrow we are...
Rage Books with Sonia Farmer, again at Point Siam Paper Press, 6 o'clock.
Absolutely.
Follow us at Equality242 on all the socials.
There you go. You guys stay tuned because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.